Great. While that's loading, I'm Anna Fenley. I work in the Steelworkers Health, Safety, and Environment Department. So, and my presentation today is about the fatalities that we had among our membership from 2007 to 2010. And I just want to be clear that these are the fatalities where folks went to work and then they didn't come home. They died at the workplace or in a couple of cases, you know, at the hospital after being transported due to an injury. So I have nothing to disclose. The United Steelworkers, we have about 850,000 members in the U.S. and Canada. We represent workers in almost every sector of the economy: metals, manufacturing, paper, chemical, healthcare, pharmaceuticals, public sector, mining, energy, the list goes on and on. So the way that we collected this information is through our emergency response team program, which we have a hotline that many of our members, hopefully all of them, know about. So in the case of a fatality or serious injury at their facility, they can call this hotline 24 hours a day, and it triggers a response from the International Union to send out a team to help the local with the investigation and recommended fixes, to work with OSHA in the case of a fatality, really to just assist the local, because this is not something that happens at every workplace. Local unions are not prepared for this. A side thing is we do send out some folks to help the family and the coworkers, you know, cope on the emotional side as well. So from 2007 to 2010, we had 152 members killed at work. And just a note that this includes only USW members. This doesn't include the supervisors and contractors that were killed at workplaces where we have members. And that's because we don't get that information as reliably as when our own members are killed. So this is a map of the fatalities that we did have. You can see the key at the bottom. The different colors are different years. So you know, many of the fatalities are kind of in that middle area where the traditional manufacturing sector is. Also a few down along the Gulf Coast, and some up west, kind of at the Canadian border. So we did a somewhat crude analysis, but this is the first time that we'd taken a look at multiple years together. In the past, we kind of just looked at 1 year at a time. So the first thing we looked at was by age. And this representation looks striking. However, we didn't think that it was too far off from the age demographics of our membership anyway. You know, we have an aging population in the industrial world, and so to have the highest number of fatalities among folks in their 50s did not look that striking to us. So this is by industry, and those are small labels at the bottom, but we found that we had the highest number of fatalities in the steel industry and other metals. Petroleum and natural gas was third. One thing to note there is we had the explosion at the Tesoro refinery in Anacortes, Washington in 2010. We had six members who were killed in that. So that third bar is higher because of that, although we do realize it could have been much higher had more people been killed in that explosion. Another thing to note, as you move along the line, logging and forestry, we had seven fatalities. Those were all in Canada. We don't do much of much logging in this country. So we divided the causes into these categories: falls, crushings, caught in machines, heart attacks, explosions, struck by traffic accidents, chemical incidents, struck by objects as opposed to vehicles, electrocution, and other. A couple notes on these. Heart attacks, these were heart attacks that actually occurred at the workplace. We certainly had more members have heart attacks at home or outside of the workplace, but we weren't able to capture that. And the distinction between struck by mobile equipment and vehicle, that's and traffic accident. Traffic accident we categorized as, you know, they were within the vehicle and struck by as they were on foot and were hit by a vehicle or mobile equipment. So this is the chart that we have. The highest cause was traffic accidents, believe it or not. That was somewhat striking. Along the fourth bar is heart attacks. An interesting thing to note is that while we had 18 heart attacks, only one was determined in the final reports to be occupational by OSHA or the coroner. So we found that very interesting, and that's something that we're looking into a little bit more. Let's see, explosions and burns, we had 18. Struck by objects, you know, things held by a crane was a cause that happened quite a bit. So we did a quick breakout by industry, where we had the highest number of fatalities, steel struck by objects, heart attacks again, and falls, crushings, and caught in the machine equipment. Other metals, explosions and burns, struck by objects, and other. In the petroleum and natural gas industry, we had 10 explosions or burns, other and traffic accidents. And this is an industry where we recognized earlier than this analysis that there is a problem with explosions and burns, and the union is already doing some prevention and attempting to work with the industry. Other manufacturing, which is a very broad category, I mean, making just about anything you can imagine, falls, crushings, heart attacks, struck by mobile equipment. And the paper industry, folks getting caught in the machines, getting struck by mobile equipment, heart attacks, and falls. And again, in the paper industry, our union recognized that this was an industry with high fatalities, and they've already begun what they're calling a season of safety. And much of this was based on some research that Tom McQuiston did a couple years ago. So a real limitation to this analysis is that it's a very small sample size. You know, 152 deaths is 152 too many, but it's also not a huge number to work with when you're looking at trends and what we can do for prevention. Also, it doesn't consider the supervisors and contractors, which doesn't help in giving a complete picture of what's really happening at the workplace. So we're looking at how we can gather that information more reliably, because our problem right now is that we sometimes get a call when a supervisor is killed, but sometimes we don't. This also doesn't consider contributing factors. Obviously, someone getting struck by a forklift doesn't happen in a bubble. Some of the contributing factors that we talk about and look at are overtime, fatigue, job combinations, experience on the job, training, reliance on PPE as opposed to engineering controls, understaffing, production pressure, behavioral safety, fear of raising safety issues. We hear that a lot when we go in to do a fatality investigation. You know, someone will say, I had a problem on this machine 2 weeks ago. I wish I'd said something. This wouldn't have happened. Isolated work, no safety management, and other. Some additional analysis that we would like to do in the future is look at right-to-work states versus not. There was a study that came out earlier this year that showed that in the construction industry, there was a higher fatality rate in right-to-work states. So that's something we were hoping to look into. Also looking at the USW districts, we have 13 districts in the U.S. and Canada. Some have more robust health and safety programs right now than others, so we wanted to look at that. Also, look at this by occupation, to look at whether drivers across industries or mechanics had higher rates of fatalities. That's not something that we looked at here. And also to include the contributing factors in this kind of analysis. So this information, we're hoping to use it to do more prevention, to look at both industry-specific ways to prevent fatalities, and also, you know, causes across the union. And we also hope to do more data collection in this area, and we hope to do it much better than we have in the past. We noticed a lot of deficiencies in how we collect data and how we report this data, and it will be very useful to improve that and hopefully protect our members.